We shared 2 weeks ago that the once a day that the priests would go down and get a golden pitcher, fill it with water from the Pool of Siloam, and they would go and pour it around the altar, representing that God has provided water. He is the water of life. The last of those days, they would go and they would walk around the altar 7 times, but there would be no water poured. And it was representing the fact that the Messiah would come as the living water. And it was right at that time, as I shared 2 weeks ago, that Jesus would stand up and say, "Hey, I am that water. Same water that was provided. I am the living water. And you, if you want to not thirst anymore, come to me." Well, in between that, we have this very interesting story of the woman who was caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her. And Jesus says, "He without sin, throw the first stone." Why is it placed there? Here's why I believe it is. I believe it actually happened at that time. The story and of the Gospel of John was written, and we'll see it chronologically here in a moment. And then it was, hey, we want to make sure that that story is there. It was placed in that spot. I believe that's why it was placed there. Happened historically at that time. Definitely for that woman, Jesus came with the living water. She was going to be dead. So Jesus brought a difference. Well, now we have another part of that festival. See, on the first night of the festival, there was around the altar in the temple area, which was a massive area, acres and acres, these giant candelabras. They were 70 feet tall. And the wick of those candelabras were the used and used up garments from the priests. They would not throw them away. They'd get these old garments and they'd weave them into big giant wicks. And they'd be down in these giant tubs of oil, and they'd use these wicks from the old priestly garments. And they would light these giant 70-foot high candelabras, representing the fact that God's light was guiding them through that time. Most people think, well, that must have been why Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." No, that's not when it happens. We find here in verse 12, Jesus says, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them." Now, it tells us that he did that during that same feast. So here's what would happen on the last day. We find this from reading the history of the Jews, and how they did these feasts. Big candelabras, a lot of light, a lot of excitement going on. The last night, you know what they would do? They would extinguish those giant candelabras. And the light that had gone out all over Jerusalem would be gone. Now, why would they do that? Same reason why they stopped pouring the water. They were anticipating the fact that the Messiah would come and bring them water, the water of life, and he would bring light into the darkness. It was at that very time, I believe, that Jesus would say this. Let's read it together. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Well, we want to look at this, that Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm that light." This is a light that they've been waiting for. That very famous passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will what? See what? A great light. "And those who dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them a light will shine." The prediction that God as a man would come, God would come and would shine light into the darkness of their lives. It sounds like good news to me. And so when they put out those giant candelabras that last night, what they were really saying, "Oh Lord, we're waiting for you to come. We need your light. Been many, many years since the light had shone around that temple." They had to manufacture the light. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm here. At the birth of Christ, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied about the coming of Christ in Luke 1, verses 78 and 79. He says this, "The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death." So at the birth of Christ, this was proclaimed about him. Simeon, that aged man who was waiting in the temple area, he saw Jesus and he took the baby Jesus in his arms. And here's what he said in Luke 2:32, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel." Matthew 4:16, Jesus said, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of shadow of death, a light has dawned." We already read in John, the first part here, and it says this in John 1, 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Here's the credentials of Jesus. At the right time in that ceremony, he says, "I've come to fulfill this. I'm the light." Now here's the question. Now we read on after this. I want you to read ahead. We won't be covering that this morning. But immediately the people said, "Oh, well, who are you?" And that's why I wanted to give you Jesus' credentials. It says, he was in the very beginning, the light. He created light. He is light. He's the very one that they were longing for to come, who would shine light into a dark place. So here's the question. Who cares? Some guy lived 2,000 years ago. Who cares if he said, "Hey, I'm the light"? We don't need that light today because we're all in the light, aren't we? We got a world full of light. Brilliant people making the world better and better every day. Right? Is that what it's like? No. We live in a dark world. Hate to say it. I don't want to be a pessimist. A lot of good things happening. But we live in a world that the Bible says is dark, is darkness. Now, I have a friend of mine. Her name is Kathy. And she is a missionary, and she's in Bangkok. She's been studying to me, trying to get ready to go mission field. She's been overseas dozens of times, and her real burden, she's done 15 years of work in the jail over in Mendocino County. She's with a team of four women, and here's what they're doing. They are going into the deepest, darkest part of Bangkok, into that place where the people up in the north sell their children to be used for whatever perverted reasons, and people come from all over the world to exploit these children. Can you think of a darker place? She walks into these, they actually live in that part of town. And they go each night as their ministry into these places to bring the light of Jesus. He says the first floor of these places is pretty, like, would be like going into some wild bar in a wild part of San Francisco. He says the second floor is wilder. The third floor is unspeakable. Children. He says you don't know if you're talking to a little boy or a little girl, because they'll get the little boys and they'll dress them up like girls. I'm not trying to freak anyone out here. But I don't have to determine, I don't have to convince anyone here that that's utter darkness, do I? And there she walks in with their team and they pray, trying to save one kid at a time. Just one. It's dangerous too. Because the people who are involved with that, they don't like being exposed to the light. So she needs daily prayer. It's a demonic darkness. And we could easily say, "Oh boy, I'm sure glad the Lake County is not like that. I'm sure glad that I don't live in that kind of darkness. That's darkness." But here's what the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "You once were darkness, All of us. You, me. You once were darkness. It's not you were living in Bangkok and you were darkness. No, you were darkness. You were in the dark. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. That's big time. Because here's what I know about God. In God, there is no darkness. In heaven, there is no darkness. So if I'm darkness, and I can't go to heaven. That's pretty plain. So somebody's got to figure it out. Well, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And says, we will read in Ephesians, you once were darkness, but now you are what? You are light. That's the good news. We want to look at this, Jesus' claim to be light. I have a prop here. This is going to be used throughout this sermon. This is what? An umbrella. It is not bad luck to open one because we don't believe in bad luck. All right. It's foolish to open one indoors because you bump into stuff. But we're going to open it up. There it is. So there we are. It's a Liz Claiborne one. Okay. So Jesus says, I'm going to pretend this is an umbrella of light. So open it up. There's the light. You walk with Jesus, you're in the light. Okay, I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to put it down. Jesus says, I'm the light. I created light. Life and light are all the same. World's filled with darkness. His claim is to be light. His claim is not that I am one of the lights. So pick which light you want to follow. Now that is the philosophy of Lake and Mendocino County. You do realize that. Just pick a light. They're all good. All the same. Is that true? No. Jesus says, I am the light. So if you go into the northern part of Thailand, don't be surprised if you walk through a village and you see string wrapped around houses. String. You go, there's a whole village covered with string. String, string, string. String from here to there, going around all the different huts and houses. Wrapping around people's gates. Why? Because the Buddhists are fearful of evil spirits. And so they don't know what to do, so they talk to the priest, and the priest blesses the string. You know, I'll just wrap your house around with string. Keep the evil spirits out. Now, I appreciate their attempt. But it's not going to work. It's not proper to say that all light's the same. Jesus says, I am the light. There is no other light. There's only one light. This was about, so imagine, fearful of demons. Are there really demons? Sure there are. Are you going to keep them out with a string around your house? String around your family? No. You better have what? You better have the real light. I'm driving with my daughter yesterday. Guess what I saw? I saw a place wrapped with string. I'm not kidding. Just down by Hopland. I thought, wow. See, so how did that get here? That's a goofy idea. I got demons, let's wrap some string around. They'll be gone. I'm not sure what you have tried. Here's what a lot of people try. I'm going to go to church. That'll keep them away. Nope. Only one way. Jesus is the light. You stay underneath him. Take him with you. All right? We'll get back to that. Jesus is saying this in a specific context, and it's not to be forgotten. He's doing this in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles. So he says, just like I was that water, I am also that light. I was that Shekinah glory that was provided to the nation of Israel when they came out of bondage. So it's really an example of our own lives. We came out of the bondage of sin. We passed through the Red Sea of what Christ did in our baptism, and now we're walking the life, and here are at least three things that we can learn about what that symbolized. First of all, that light and that cloud really are one and the same. It's not like he turned on, okay, let's put the cloud on now. Cloud mode. All right? Now there's light mode. No, it's the same. It's just that in the daytime, it looked, you know, the cloud thing. Nighttime is shining bright. Here's the first thing it symbolized and was. It symbolized God's holy presence. God's holy presence. You can't miss it. He says, I want you to make this tabernacle thing, and I'm going to lead you by light and by this cloud. But you know what? That the light and cloud existed before the tabernacle. His presence was with them. And that is so exciting. God said, hey, I'm going to dwell with you. You'll be my people. And there's going to be a visible sign of it. It'll be this cloud and this pillar of fire. One of the very first verses I ever memorized as a Christian. Hebrews 13:5, the second part of it. I will never what? I will never leave you or forsake you. Say that with me. I will never leave you or forsake you. See, I had this fear when I first came to Christ that if I didn't understand the prayers, I didn't understand what I read, maybe fell asleep during a sermon. I see some of you, you know. Yes. That God somehow has left me. And here's what Jesus said to me. Gary, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. If someone left, it wasn't me, it was you. The light symbolizes the presence of God. The next thing the light symbolizes is God's guidance. Once again, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Okay? So God's light was a sense of his presence, but also of his guidance. He says, okay, follow me around. In fact, we read in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, that it says, hey, listen, if the cloud of smoke or fire moves, you're supposed to do what? Move. So here we go. Presence of God, the light. It's going like this, and we go with it, right? We don't go, okay, you're way up there, God, I'll catch up with you later. No, that doesn't work, because then we're not walking in the light. So God says, okay, you've been here camped out for 2 days, I want you to go over here. It would move, and they'd go with him. Hold on tight. Sometimes it would stop for 2 days, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 2 months, maybe 2 years. Sometimes it would stop by this really nice oasis. You know, dates and nice sand to put your tent in. Nice. And then it'd start moving. And you'd go, oh man, I kind of like it here. But God says, if you want me to provide it, you follow me. And so we're not just talking geographically, friends. We're talking body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes God would lead them to a rocky spot. Maybe it's hot out there. Maybe they'd be there for a long time. But here's what we find out. He says, I want you to learn to follow me. And so we pick up the relationship. He's the light. Okay, Lord, I want to follow, but I kind of like where I'm camped right now. I kind of like this spot in my life. It's very comfortable. So I appreciate that, but time to move. And he says, he has us move. So here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I learned in 35 years of being a Christian. The safest place to be is in God's will. Say that with me. The safest place to be is in God's will. Oh, and it's hard sometimes. How many of you have ever had it when it said, God says, time to move. Something's happened in your life. Time to move on to something else. And it's been hard. Now, if you haven't put your hand up, it's because you're probably too tired to do it. All right? Because if you, now get me wrong, don't get angry with me. Or if you do, write it down and put your name on it. And if you haven't been uncomfortable yet as a Christian, then you're probably not walking in the light. How many of you have been a believer for over 30 years? Can you say amen to what I just said? Amen. You see, God is not so interested in my creature comforts. What he's interested in is me walking in the light so I can know him. And I can strip away all the things that I think are so important. And he says, Gary, you got to learn to depend on me. So we know it symbolizes his presence. It symbolizes his guidance. It symbolizes also God's protection. Interesting verse, Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. We read, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Okay? So, the presence of God is there. Okay, I want you to move when I move. But then there was a time where the enemy starts sneaking up from behind, right? Ah, let's get these guys back. We want them to be our slaves again. You know what the light also does for you? It protects you. Friends, it protects you from your past. I'm holding on to this. Devil said, hey, you know, you used to be a dope smoker. You used to steal from stores. You used to be a vandal. You used to be all these different things. Friends, you know where that was? Outside there. Not in the light. I'm a child of the light. Devil's saying, oh, no, you used to be like this. You used to do this. You know what the truth is? I've been forgiven. God buried in the deepest part of the sea. The devil wants you to walk. He wants you to live like this. Just in kind of close proximity to the light. That doesn't work that way. Because that's not where the protection is. Now, I try as much as I can. I try diligently to walk in the light. And we'll find out how we do that. But I'll guarantee you, there's no safer place to be. And the enemy is always there. He's disguised himself as what? An angel of light. Oh, come, I got a better umbrella. My light's much better. You can do whatever you want. So when Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world, it's in a specific context. Say, hey, listen, that light that was telling you time to move was providing what you needed, providing protection, providing worship, providing connection. That's who I am. I am that God. Today you may be here and you're facing some fearful things. Maybe you have a boss that doesn't like you and harassing you, maybe somebody. Maybe you have creditors harassing you. Maybe you received bad news and it can happen. You got a report from your doctor and it wasn't what you wanted to hear. Frustrating, scary. Here's what I can tell you. I've been a believer now for 35 years. There's no safer place than to be in the light. And the devil says, no, no, no. You can't trust God. He's just trying to mess with you. No. Jesus is the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Anything else is a false light. I need Jesus. I want to look at quickly the characteristic of his light. Life is light. One is that light reveals things. Excuse me. Ephesians 4:13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. John 3:21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that he may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. The light enables us to see things that we wouldn't have seen ourselves. Only God can shine the light. So here's what I've known and seen. There's some people who don't want to be, they don't want the light. So they'll come to church on Sunday, just get enough of it. You know, it's like this, like that. A little bit of light goes on by. They feel like they've been baptized in light. Doesn't work that way. You got to walk in the light. Because the light exposes who we are before the Lord. And we can then fall on our knees. Oh, Lord, I'm a wretched person. Save me. People aren't willing to do that. So we see here that the light exposes. C.S. Lewis put it this way. I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun. Not only because I see it, because by it I see all things. Christ lets us opens our eyes. I've been a believer now for 35 years, and why is it that I see other things I still need to work on? Because God is gracious. The day I came to Christ at age 17, he didn't give me that long list, been a lot longer than this, million things. Okay, Gary, before I do anything, you got to clean up all this stuff. No, he's just shining his light. Farther I walk, he's shining more light. Anyone else experience that? Yeah. Some of you have been a believer longer than I have, and you're going, yep. You're going, yep. God keeps just shining more light. Why? Because he wants us more like him. Lastly, we want to look at the demand of the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 verses 7 to 9. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. So it's something we walk in. I want to get my prop here again. We walk in it. Here's what it means to walk. You cling to Christ. This is the light. So when you walk with him, you walk in the light. If I'm messing around with this, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm holding on or have some kind of loose affiliation with the light, I'm not walking in the light. I'm kind of dating the light. I'm kind of checking the light out. All right? That's what it says. No. You're married to the light. You're in a relationship, permanent, with the light. Hold on tight. And when the devil says, oh, there's another light, no. You cast and said, get behind me, Satan. That's not true. So the fact is, you once were darkness, and now you are light because of Christ. Now here's what it says, the fruit of holding on to this. Get this in Ephesians. The fruit of holding on to this light and being in the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So if you're walking down the street, you see someone's wallet, and you think, gee, there's a wallet. I can now have all the money in that wallet and use the credit cards for my advantage. That's not the truth, right? You're walking outside the truth. That's not the fruit. You see that wallet, that's somebody's wallet. I'm sure glad they're glad I found it. You go to the police station, you hand it in, right? That's righteousness. When we ever have a thought in our mind, it's, oh, you know, you're on this internet site and it's got stuff you shouldn't be seeing, friends, that's not the truth. That's not righteousness. And we are making the choice to say, oh, God, here's what I want. I don't really want to be in your, I want to put, it's not convenient for me to do that because, friends, we got to cling to Christ. So we cling to the fact, whether it's an internet site or whether it's a party or whether it's a relationship or a business deal, we say, Jesus, we're walking in the light together. What do you think about that? You want to go out with somebody? You want to spend your money in a certain way? It's not your money, it's God's money. Say, okay, God, thinking of buying this new bass boat. What do you think? He says, okay. You know, nothing wrong with bass boats. I wish I had one, but I don't. But the fact is, if I went out today to buy a bass, it would not be a good thing. Because I got bills to pay. I don't need a bass boat. So that's how tangible it is. I'm walking in the light, and he's helping me with these things. Here's the fruit. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if I'm not walking in goodness, righteousness, and truth, don't kid yourself, then you're not walking in the light. Now, you show your walking in the light in two ways. Two ways. The first way is the way that you show and you walk with the Lord. Your relationship with God. Now, one of the great things about the Gospel of John, that he kind of capsulizes the Gospel of John in a letter that he wrote to the churches called the Epistle. It's the letter of John and 1 John. And so here's what it says in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is a message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay? God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. You and I are not perfect, but we're supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. So, I come along some situation and find the wallet. Instead of turning it in, I say, well, there's some money, I'll spend it. I'm not walking in the light. Had nothing to do with the light. That was an act of darkness. What do I do about it? I confess that. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit convicts me. I said, oh, Lord, I got to make that right. That was wrong. I'm agreeing with God. It says, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're walking in the light. I may have to do that many times during the day. God help the Christian who does that and is regularly not walking in the light. Someone has said, the worst witness for Christ is the Christian. Hypocrisy. Someone also said, the best witness for Christ is the Christian. As we walk with him, we make our mistakes, we sin, we're always bringing ourselves back to where? Right here. Hold on tight to Jesus. Don't make excuses for your sorry sin. Excuses cheapen the person. You say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I confess this sin. And that fellowship with God is restored. Okay? Get the picture? So the first thing, and we say it every Sunday morning, we're here to love God with our heart, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. Right here. And we walk with him as we love him. If you do things that you know are contrary to that, contrary to goodness, contrary to righteousness, contrary to truth, then those are the fruit of darkness. We confess those things. We walk in the light. So the Christian who says, no, I'm not going to take seriously that I need to have this short account with God. I'll just tell you, you're most likely walking in darkness most of the time. I'm not God. I just know how it works. We keep a short account with him. Why? Because we're so prone to wander. Okay, so the first way we walk with the Lord. Next way we walk with each other. Let me move on and say this first in this whole thing about walking with God. Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14. And do this knowing that the time that is already an hour, do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep, for salvation now is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing or drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or sensuality, nor strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. So here we go. It says right here, good verse, time to wake up from your sleep, salvation is near. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay, this is the armor of light. Put it on. Now, how do I stay in that? How do I keep it on? By behaving properly. Let us behave properly as in the day. That means, everyone look here, there are improper ways for you to live if you're walking in the light. And it should be, I'll pick on Doug, he's sitting right there, that if Doug sees me being mean to somebody, that he's going, well, that's contrary to the light. And a brother who cares for me like Doug, he would probably have a proper take. I'm like, what was that all about? You know? Why? Because, you know, I'm supposed to behave differently. It says this, let us behave properly as in the day. How would Jesus respond? How would Jesus live in this? Not carousing and drunkenness. Okay, I don't do that. I don't carouse anymore. I used to. Drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or sensuality. Okay, don't do those things. Ah, look at these other ones. Or strife or jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That means don't bring any of the darkness under here. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. Leave it aside. So we show it by our love for God. We show it by our love for people. How do I know that? Because 1 John chapter 2 goes on with the same comment. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling. Ah. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't sin. I don't do bad stuff. I got it all dialed in. That's good. But he goes, well, what about this? Do you hate your brother? Yeah, but Pastor, if you know what so-and-so did to me, you know, they owe me money, they said this, they did this when I was a child, on and on and on. You know what? I didn't write the book. He says, don't, but you got to love one another. You got to forgive one another. Do not let a root of bitterness. So here's what we want to do. We say, we want to live our Christian life like this. It's like the light somehow back there. And we're holding on to things. And we can't get along with each other. It's strife and all kinds of difficulties. So it says here, he who says he's in the light yet hates his brother is out here. Now I can say this because I live here. I am a product of Lake of Mendocino County. 5 generations in both of these counties. Why is it you can go to some of the towns around here? I think of one small town I won't mention. I mentioned another service, but changed my mind now. Small town, 17 churches. 12 of those churches can trace their lineage back to one church. You know why? They're hating their brother. Somebody didn't win the vote on what colored chairs there'd be. Someone didn't win on what version of the Bible they'd use or what songs they would sing. Somebody didn't win. Friends, we're not supposed to win. In fact, God says sometimes, you know what? Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to lose today. It's called being humble. I want you to think more highly of the other person. They get to win. In fact, they get to win all the time. It's not about you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness and patience and a forbearing spirit. That's how we're supposed to live. But here's what we've shown in Lake of Mendocino County. We just can't get along. And the people aren't seeing the light. Why in the world do I want to be a Christian of those Christians? They can't even get along. They hate each other. It's pathetic. We're going to get there, and it's going to be, boy, I'm not sure what, I realize judgment, Christ took it on the cross. That's good for us. But I'm not sure what it's going to be like for some when they stand before the Lord and they split a church. Man, I don't want to be there. Because they couldn't say, I don't care about winning. If that's hitting real home, that's okay. It's supposed to. The Lord said it. If you hate your brother, you're not walking in the light. And we can't possibly show Lake County the light if we don't love God, if we're walking in sin, we're kind of messing around with stuff we have no business messing with, hidden secret to the dark, we think. No way, it's all in the light. The Lord knows. If we somehow think we can mess around with the umbrella of light, kind of leave it down when we don't need it, that is why the kingdom of God is weak here. Not because the kingdom of God's weak, because believers are weak. Because we're not walking in the light. Jesus spoke, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I understand I've been in conflict with people ever since I became a Christian. But God in his grace always says this, okay, Gary, if you're committed to loving people in spite of everything, they're committed to loving you, it'll all get sorted. But walk in the light. The last thing I want to say about the light is that we must be the light. I understand we're not God. We're not, Jesus is the light. But here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. So here we are in Lake County. It's not just come to church because there's a good sermon. We got good music and good stuff for the kids. That's all good. But you know, here's the church. The church is your life and mine. As we're out in school and our businesses with our, we're part of Rotary Club, we're part of 4-H, we're part of tilling our fields, wherever it may be, you be Jesus, you be walking in the light. And when you're walking in the light, what you're actually doing is you're walking with Jesus. And when you're walking in the light, it's that you're walking with him. That's what the verse says. That's where the life comes. And here's what I truly believe is the Bible says it. If we all more consistently walked in the light, and we took seriously a short account with God by confessing our sin, and we took seriously if we are in challenges with other brothers and sisters or anyone, we deal with it biblically, and we go to them, ask for forgiveness. And I'll share with you, I was down in Southern California. I had a bad day one day. I won't go into it right now. But I was not kind to a person. I forgot a badge, I should have had it, da da da. And they said, you gotta have a badge to go in. I said, what? You know, and I was giving a bad time. I knew immediately. The Holy Spirit's going, Gary, why are you being a jerk? So I get done. As soon as I get done with the whole thing, I'm going, God, now what I gotta do is now it makes even more work for me. Now I gotta go back and seek out these people who I don't even know and say, you know what? Please forgive me. I said, you know, I don't want to, you know, I didn't go into here's why it happened. I said, please forgive me. I was short with you. You're just serving the Lord. I had to go to Brother Chris because he witnessed it. here I'm his brother and his pastor, and I'm being a jerk. And I thought, you know, that's not good. Please forgive me. I said, that's not a good example. Moms and dads, are you ever a bad example to your kids? Sure you are sometimes. Go to them. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have responded that way. But friends, if we're not committed to keeping a short account with God and a short account with others, we're not walking in the light. And there's too much riding on it to not walk in the light. I'm excited about being in a church and being in a place where I believe that the more of us that are committed to walking in the light, the more good we can do. And I'm talking, you know, I've been around a lot of Christians, and I'm not trying to minimize the differences that people can be in. So please get me there. And if you're having challenges, you need some wise counsel, you know, then seek it out. But the fact is, God is saying the way we judge if we're walking in the light is how we treat him and how we treat others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 16. Do nothing without grumbling and disputing. Now he's talking to Christians here, can't believe it. Do nothing without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. I love that. Holding fast the word of life. Hold fast. Hold on. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I didn't run in vain. Paul said, oh, please, children in Philippi, hold on to the light, because you're shining in a crooked and perverse generation. You're shining as an example. Friends, we're not perfect. We're just saved. We're not perfect. We're just saved. It makes a real difference. The impact that God's people walking in the light, the impact that we can have in this county, will ring through the walls of heaven. People will know there's a difference. On his deathbed, Charles Darwin, who had some problems with Christians, here's what Charles Darwin said on his deathbed. Even the atheist, as his shipwrecked craft drifts towards a native island filled with cannibals, hopes that missionaries have been there before. Why? Because even the atheist understands the power of light and truth and goodness and righteousness. So there's no part of this county that the light can't penetrate. There's no part of a family or a system that it can't penetrate. But here's what I have to do, what I have to be committed. I need to allow completely my life to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to his light. I once was darkness, now I'm light. The proper way for me to live then is to cling to Christ and walk with him. Okay? Not to do this, or do this, or do this, or pick it up on Sunday, but to walk with him in communion with him, spending time in the word and prayer. Not just on Sundays, but all the time. I think we all can understand that, whether we're young or old. Walk with him. So you ask, you always ask yourself, Holy Spirit, how am I doing? You know, am I holding tight to the umbrella? Please realize that that's just a prop. But every time I see an umbrella now, I'm going to think of that. It's one of the things we use as a visual for our church. We want to provide that umbrella for good things to happen. You know what that umbrella is? It's the light of Christ. Lastly is this. As we walk in the light, it prepares us for what our habitat in heaven will be like. Revelation 22, 4 to 6. And they will see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Right there. And there will no longer be any night, And they will have no need of any light of the lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Wow. You may be here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You never realized that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again, that he was God who came as a man. He was a light that wants you to fill you, forgive you. Maybe you need to surrender to him today. You do that through prayer. I encourage you to come and talk with one of the, come forward afterwards and talk to myself or one of the staff or one of the elders. Or write it on your little piece of paper saying, hey, I'd like to hear more about how I can surrender my life to Christ. And put that, and there's a little box back there, just slip it in there. Or slip it to one of us. But you also may be here today and you're a Christian and you've been doing one of these. And I'm just here as your brother in Christ. Don't do it. It's like walking through a minefield blindfolded. Walk in the light. And if there's something in your relationship with the Lord or something in your relationship with people that needs to be reestablished, then just do it. It's painful, I know, but just do it. It doesn't mean that the broken relationship will get healed, but you know what? You've done your part. You've walked in the light.